Welcome, everybody listening to the Encounter Church Sermon Podcast. Thank you for listening to this message. As you take time to process this teaching of Scripture, we at Encounter Church hope that it leads you to have a real and meaningful encounter with God, because we believe that people need an encounter with God more than anything else. So enjoy.
So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to remember the Shema. We're going to talk about how we as humans, as people who love God, pass it on. How do we pass it on? Whether that's to our kids, if we have kids, whether it's to our coworkers or our friends or whoever, our classmates, how do we pass it on? How do we become so obsessed and so in love with God and His Word that we can't help but talk about it all the time? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have some times of reflection. What is the Shema? So last week, Greg introduced Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 8. And what the Shema is, it's a call to worship. It's a declaration of beliefs. It's an invitation to love God with our whole being. We're going to read it out loud together, as would be the custom for the Israelites. So let's read it out loud. Now listen, don't be shy, okay? I want to really loud and proud, please, I'm begging you. Here we go, ready? Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. That's really what we're going to be focusing on today, is that last part there. Repeat them again and again to your children. One version that I studied said, diligently teach them to your children. Diligently teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Does anybody find that to be hard? Is that like just me? Okay. And that's what I meant at the beginning when I said it's really hard to stand up in front of people when I know that, like, I'm no different, and it's really hard for me to do this. I don't come to you today as an expert. I do have 3 children. I don't come to you as an expert parent, that's for sure. And I'm totally in the trenches when it comes to figuring out how to teach my kids diligently the Word of God. But I want to make sure that as we talk about this context, that we acknowledge that not everybody in the room is a parent, right? And so if you're not a parent, we've got a couple options here. You can think about, like, if you want to be a parent someday, and if you think that might be part of your life, you can kind of tuck it away as far as, like, how might I want to apply this in the future? But also, no matter what role you're in, if you're a student, if you're in the workforce, whatever, you have people in your life that you're influencing. You have people in your life that maybe you're kind of overseeing, or you have people in your life that you can share all of this with, even if it's just friend to friend. So keep in mind that as we talk about it in the context sometimes of, like, teaching to our children, it's not just for parents, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. So, for me as a parent, though, after years of therapy, I'm realizing that the way that I grew up just so happens to impact the way that I parent. Like, who knew? That's interesting. And my parents were very hands-on when it came to making sure that I obeyed Scripture. And I didn't love that experience. It wasn't a delightful experience for me. And because I didn't love that experience, I can notice in myself a tendency to kind of go in the other direction, to kind of overcompensate and maybe not lean into this aspect of parenting as much as I'm called to do, which is a really interesting thing to wrestle with as a missionary kid, Bible college graduate, pastor's wife. Like, pretty much like from birth, should have like the poster child of like, this woman prays with her children 3 times a day and they study scripture diligently. But that is not really the case. And I was really convicted this week. And part of me was like, did Greg assign this one to me on purpose? But then I'm like, I'll take that to therapy. Well, we don't need to talk about it here. Very much convicted this week because realizing that the way that I was parented influences me to kind of be more hands-off than I want to, or than I think that I'm called to be. Like every good, I wrote this out, I'm so proud of this line. Listen, like every good, happy, shiny, if you get it, you get it, conservative Christian family from the 80s and 90s, my parents protected me from the devil, of course, by homeschooling me, obviously, and making sure that I didn't watch Care Bears or Smurfs or anything like really dangerous like that. And it's certainly not to pass blame on my parents or anyone, but just to highlight the different ways that we were brought up and how that might impact us. Most of our parents were doing their best, but sometimes best can be like, oh, okay, wow. So as I've been preparing for this message, I've seen that my desire to not repeat history has made it or like led me to a place where I've overcorrected and haven't been super willing to be diligent when it comes to teaching God's word to my kids. Ouch. Saying it, it's so painful. So what I'm hoping and praying for is that my honesty will prompt you to be honest as well. And maybe we could just have a time to think through, when it comes to loving God with all of your heart, soul, and might, and then teaching that to your kids or the people around you, in what ways are you maybe being held back or overcorrecting or fighting against the past? Or maybe you're fighting against or being held back by like overcorrecting from a previous church experience. Maybe your upbringing was perfect. That's awesome. But maybe it's like a past church experience that was really painful and you're like, well, I don't want to do it that way. And then you kind of overcorrect and find yourself like not doing it at all. It's important for us to remember that we don't exist in a vacuum, that we're not just here like not being affected by the past. We really are. And so I just wanted to take just a minute as we dive into how can we propel forward before we can propel ourselves forward into teaching our kids diligently and making sure that we are repeating God's word to them over and over. Can we take a minute and reflect, is there anything maybe holding us back? Is there anything that we need to let go of first so that we can step into the future? So right off the bat here, we're just going to take a minute and we're going to reflect. Is there anything, Lord, that you want to show us? God, we invite you to reveal to us if there's anything that we're actually fighting against and maybe carrying over some resentment or some sort of emotions or thoughts that are counterproductive to the commands that you've given us. That iPhone phone notes app, I'm not going to be mad at you if you pull it up right now and just jot it down, because that's something that I believe that I know for me, being able to recognize that is allowing me then to move forward the way that I believe he's calling me to. So what is he calling us to? Let's remind ourselves. Let's go back to the beginning. It's a declaration of beliefs. It's the framework that God gave the Jewish people for teaching and for remembering the scriptures. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. You can keep going there. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. It doesn't really leave any time out, does it? It's like when you're doing all the things. Talk about them when you're doing all the things. Now, that first command is to love. You shall love. Which is really interesting because this is the part where I get really excited because I get to talk about emotions. You must love. My version, I think I have an old school version. I use shall. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's interesting because part of me wants to be a little snarky here and be like, wait a second, I thought Christians weren't supposed to care about emotions. I thought we weren't supposed to feel emotions or pay attention to our emotions. And in my line of work, I love to study emotions and why they matter. And what neuroscience and psychology and the latest research tells us is that emotions actually fuel our actions. So if the action that we want to take is repeat them again and again to our children, talk about them when we're doing this and this and this and this, that we have the commands on our lips at all times. Well, the fuel for that, the gas in the gas tank that makes us walk or run or speed toward that is the emotion. And that emotion is love. So I did some research. Psychologists at Very Well Mind defined love as a set of emotions and behaviors, so the combination of emotions and behaviors. And the American Psychology Association defines it as a complex emotion. In Deuteronomy 6:5, the Hebrew word that they use for love is ahav, and the Greek version of that word is agape. So it's this God's fatherly love for us and our reciprocated love back up to him. So why does that matter? Why does it matter? Why does it matter that we love God? In my opinion, and the way that I believe God set this up, if you could go back to that first verse, love the Lord. Thank you. Second one. Thank you. The love of God, us loving God, is the catalyst then for us being able to talk about him, for us being able to follow his commands, for us being able to repeat his word over and over and over. If you think about yourself as a car, what kind of car are you? See it? Can you picture in your mind? You got excited about that. If you think about yourself as a car and you want your car to drive in the direction of following God's commands, you want yourself to drive in the direction of repeating these to the people around you, talking about God's commands, having his word on your lips at all time. If those are the actions, if that's the direction that you want to be driving in, the fuel for that is going to be love. Loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Okay. Emotions fuel our actions. The reason why this needs to be stressed is because what we're talking about today is teaching these things to our kids, talking about them to the people around us, influencing whoever we have influence over, influencing them to follow God's commands. Teach them diligently. Talk about them all the time. So what's so cool is that God knew, like obviously, first you love me, then you talk about this stuff, right? First you love me, then you talk about it. In John 14:15, Jesus said to his followers, You love me? That means you obey me. If you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, love, that is going to fuel the action of obeying my commands. This is an Old Testament thing. This is a New Testament thing. The love is the fuel for obedience. But I wonder if you, like me, were parented in a way where obedience came first, where it was obedience that was expected, where it was obedience that was kind of pedestaled as like, this is the golden prize, instead of love. And that's really, really interesting, because when you think back to the reflection that we did earlier, how does your past, or how does how you were parented, or the messages you received in church or society, how does that inform now how you're showing up in the present? And what lingering emotions might be coming up when it comes to repeating these commands over and over to your kids or to your friends or to your colleagues or to your friends wherever? Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you rise. For some of us, we've got some like resentment in our fuel tank. For others, maybe it's apathy or resistance. Some of us, and I can raise my hand to this, sometimes are trying to use like obligation or guilt. Oh, I gotta do this. This is the right thing to do. I gotta teach it to my kids. But using obligation or guilt, it's like not a great fuel source for me. I don't know how you are when you are feeling obligated or you are feeling guilty, but for me, it does not propel me to take consistent action over and over. It doesn't lead to joy. It doesn't lead to like really fun conversations when I show up with resentment or guilt or obligation in my tank. It's like shocking how it just kind of like nobody really wants to talk about God when I'm showing up with obligation in my tank. When I notice in myself, and you know, I help people change their actions for a living. That's part of what I do. People show up and they're like, I don't like this action that I'm taking. I want to do this over here. And what's really kind of interesting is that we always have to look at the fuel source. Okay, what's the emotion that you're feeling? Because you're wanting to do all of these amazing things, but you're feeling apathy or guilt or resentment or obligation or self-judgment or whatever the case may be. So what emotion is going to be helpful to take the action that we want? Because we want to talk about this stuff, right? We want to. That's where I'm at. I want to want to. And it doesn't start with the action. It starts with love. Love me, then obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me, right? Obey my commands. So how do we do it? We're going to take some time together and kind of talk it out together. But I think that always reminding ourselves that it starts with us and then it starts with love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. It's got to start with love. It's not obligate yourself to the commands and beat yourself up over the head and judge yourself so that you can do the things that he says to do, right? It's not that. It's love. Love is going to be the source. And so how can you foster a deeper love for God? That's the question, right? Because if we love him, we're going to obey him. But will there be obedience without love? That's a really interesting question. I'm not smart enough to answer it. But I do wonder. It's like the love has to be there. And sometimes love is just a verb. I'm doing this because I know it's the right thing. But I wonder how we can foster a deeper love for him so that we cannot help but talk about it with our kids, talk about it with our coworkers, talk about it with our friends. I think it's really important that we check our fuel tank. And when we're thinking about repeating things to our kids, repeating the commands to our friends, repeating them over and over, checking our fuel tank. I mean, I'm going to be honest. My fuel tank sometimes ain't cute. It's not pretty. It does not bedazzle. It's not bedazzled. And sometimes my fuel tank is like, I'm tired. I'm just so tired. So making sure that it starts with me connecting with God first and fostering connection and love so that naturally I'm repeating it to my kids. I think, too, we need to make sure that we are remembering. Like, we need to make it a priority. Not just a priority like, you know what, this is a really good thing I should do. But a priority in how am I going to remember? Not just I should remember. How am I going to remember? How? But like, seriously, are we going to set reminders on our phones? Are we going to put a paper out on the table? Like, how are we going to remember to repeat them over and over? I'm out of sight, out of mind kind of person. Anyone else? Making sure that we're keeping it front and center. How can we remember? And really being flexible, because like if you've got toddlers, that's going to be a whole thing. Or if you've got teenagers, that's a whole thing. So how can we be flexible so that we're open to what other people need? We have these like adorable little books that we love. Do you love them too? These are just like pretty easy ways to communicate God's word to the kids. But also, one of the things that Greg always did on the way to school when he used to drive our kids to school, he would ask them, he would like pepper them with questions. And I don't know how you have the stamina to, first of all, remember to do it and to do it every day. But he would ask them, like, what are the two most important things that you have to do every day? And they would say, love God, love people. What does it mean to love God? Obey his commands. What does it mean to love people? Sacrifice for them. Like, it was just like on repeat. What does it mean to be a man of integrity? Do the right thing when no one's looking. Like, over and over. Does that mean that our kids are perfect? Yes. They are. They're perfect, guys. Let's just close in prayer, shall we? What I really hope, as we wrap it up, I want to, first of all, take a deep breath. I want to encourage you that the way that we have the stamina, the way that we have the ability, the way that we have the fuel to be able to share and repeat and talk to our kids and talk to our coworkers, it starts with love. And so I want to encourage you to prioritize loving God. And whatever that looks like for you, how can you make sure that you are connected? How can you make sure that love is in your fuel tank so that naturally we're repeating these things to everyone around us, right? All right, let's close in prayer.
Thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us one day as we strive to engage the disciple of Christ with multiple learning styles, hands-on creatives, and in-person serving in our community. Check us out at www.encounterchurchberks.com. Sign up for our weekly email. Follow us on social. Have a great rest of your week.